Welcome to The Range on the Believe Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. I'm Ralph Irvin, and today we are staying grounded and locked to the ground. How do we do that? Well, with proper footwear, of course. Whether we're on turf, grass, or even ice, the right footwear is crucial to have success in sport. So in this show, we talk with someone who has seen it all, but of course with a particular fondness for golf. Our guest this week is Keith Duffy, the former senior product manager for footwear at FootJoy and the current principal for advanced concepts with Acushnet. That sounds interesting. Keith, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ralph.
We always welcome our guests in their first visit to the range by starting with a simple question. How did golf enter into your life?
Oh, wow. Golf has been a big part of my life since I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old. I got my first set of clubs from my grandfather, who was my idol. He was a very good player himself. So I got my first set of clubs from him. He really introduced me to the game. And I got my first junior membership at Franklin Country Club in Franklin, Massachusetts, when I was 10 years old. And I'm one of those kids that you hear about that mom and dad dropped them off at 6:30 in the morning and picked them up at 8:30 every night, played 54 holes a day type of kid. I grew up loving the game and had the benefit of being at Franklin, where that membership really embraced junior golf and supported us kids. And we had, you know, probably 3 or 4 groups of decent players out there every day. And you know, a lot of the older members would take us out, take us under their wing, teach us a few games to play on the golf course, taught us how to lose money. but it was great to have their support. And my freshman year in high school, Franklin High School team, we won the state championship. All six of our starting members went on to play college golf, and all but one of us on that team played Division I. The other one was played Division III at Methodist, where I actually ended up graduating from. But I played Division I college golf at UConn my freshman year before I transferred to Methodist with my buddy.
What led you from the playing side to going into the golf business?
At Methodist, you've got to do a summer internship every year. And I did all my internships at Pleasant Valley Country Club in Sutton, Massachusetts. Used to host a tour event back when I was there. They hosted a tour event, I think, from the late 50s to maybe 1988 or 1999. When the event left, it was the CVS Charity Classic. And then Brad Faxon still run in, or work with CVS running an event under that banner, but at Rhode Island Country Club, more of a one-day fun event. But it was a great place to work. Had a great boss. My boss at Pleasant Valley was Gary Young, who continues to be a very good close friend. He's a friend of mine. He's now VP of Rules out on the PGA Tour. But that's where I got really, I thought I wanted to be a golf pro when I transferred and went to Methodist. And then, when I got to Pleasant Valley, I realized quickly that, that working in the golf shop and caring about how well somebody else played the game, well, it didn't really interest me that much. I didn't care much for teaching. So I got into golf administration. I thought that could be a path for me. The scoreboard for the event was right outside of the pro shop. And John Andrews was the, I forget what his title was, but he was the guy on tour who did the, if they don't do it anymore, but back in the day, there was that beautiful handwritten board and calligraphy. So I made good friends with John Andrews and Mark Russell. But John kind of showed me the ropes a little bit, and I taught myself how to do that and do that, the fancy calligraphy and artwork that was so impressive. And so I kind of navigated a path into golf administration. I took a year off of school, did the USGA PJ Boatwright internship at the Massachusetts Golf Association. It's now called MassGolf. And that led me to my first job out of school. When I went back and graduated, I was the assistant tournament director for the Carolina section of the PGA. And I did that for a couple of years and worked with my relationship with folks I knew at the USGA as well as the PGA Tour. And I started to get some phone calls to be a stand-in for events that needed an official graphic artist or a scorekeeper.
You were that guy.
And, I was that guy. So I was starting to get more and more calls to be flown around to different USGA championships or PGA Tour events, or back then it was buy.com tour. Now it's Korn Ferry Tour, to do scoreboards. So I did that for maybe a year or so as an independent contractor. And then that led me to, I left my job at the Carolina section to do that full time. And that led me to move back home from the Carolinas to Massachusetts, where I started dating my now ex-wife. And we were looking to get married and start a family. And I didn't think that that robust travel schedule fit well with the kind of dad that I wanted to be and coach my kids' sports. So lucky for me, a Krishna company recruited heavily out of Methodist College, or now Methodist University. And I got a job working at Titleist in 2003. It worked in customer service for maybe 3 months or so before an opportunity opened up in the golf ball marketing department. So moved over into golf ball shortly after that, worked for George Sein, who's now, I think, senior vice president or executive vice president of Acushnet International. So he handles all Acushnet business outside of the U.S., remains a good friend and mentor, worked. It was a great learning experience working for him. Just a really smart guy, very thoughtful, and certainly very successful. Great experience working there on the golf ball side. Little bit different than from a product management standpoint than footwear. So it's in Titleist Golf Balls, my focus was packaging and worked on visual point of sale display. So that's kind of where I got my feet wet in product management. So, you know, I would write the product brief for a new in-store display and work with a third-party display manufacturer and bring that to life. One of the other fun parts about working there was I got to manage the Pinnacle Cobra long drive team. So became very good friends. This is back when a Kushner company owned Cobra. Became very good friends. My counterpart on the Cobra side was Ben Showman with Cobra, who recently was in the news with his comments after Bryson at the Open Championship. But Ben is a very good friend of mine as well. And we got to work with Jason Zuback and Dan Beaver and Art Selinger and Brian Pavlett and Eric Listoka and all the legends of long drive. And I actually signed Jamie Sadlowski to his first professional endorsement contract with Pinnacle. So that was cool and fun.
After a number of years with Titleist, though, there was opportunities for you to really expand your knowledge, not just in the equipment side, but really in the product knowledge side in terms of international exposure.
Yeah, for sure. So my wife at the time was pregnant with our second daughter. We have four, three girls and one boy. But she was pregnant with our second daughter, and you know, we had just built a house, and I was ambitious young fellow looking for some more opportunities. So tested the waters a little bit and actually ended up getting a job at Reebok. And at Reebok, it was a brief tenure at Reebok, but in those 10 months, I got amazing experience. I was the product manager for cleated footwear. And so I did football, baseball, lacrosse, and cricket. And good experience there, worked with a lot of great people there, and had the opportunity to go to China four times and really get to know and understand the manufacturing side of it and what really goes into designing and developing great footwear. And so that was a great 10 months. And there was a big layoff at the organization, and my boss had gotten let go. I was lucky to remain, but he was let go and ended up working with a recruiter looking for his next opportunity. And he was working with a recruiter who was looking for a good product manager that happened to be an avid hockey player and had a good understanding of the game of hockey. He threw my name into the mix. He knew I was hockey crazy, grew up playing hockey and golf. I was a 4-year varsity letterman on one of the best public high school teams in the state of Massachusetts, and captain my senior year, and still play today, still play. And now I coach too. They were looking for somebody to take over and manage their skate business. And I jumped at the opportunity. It was a great, great experience. I spent 7 years at Bauer, 5 years managing skates. And then which was very, very much like Titleist golf balls or FootJoy footwear, dominant, number one market share position at retail and with consumers. And then number one position in the NHL, much like Titleist golf balls and FootJoy footwear. That was a great fit. Learned a lot, worked with a lot of great people, got to work with a lot of NHL players. So I got that experience in working with those who play the game at the highest level and working with them on their equipment needs. So I got some really great experience there, and then took over the stick category after 5 years, which sticks is the largest category in the hockey equipment space. And at the time, Bauer was number two. When I left, I'm happy to say we were number one, which is good. So when I came into the hockey space, Easton was still number one in stick, and they had a bit of troubles, and Bauer actually ended up acquiring Easton Baseball, and then hockey continued to fail, and we acquired Easton more or less to acquire a lot of their patents, and so managed the stick category, and during my 2-year stick tenure, also oversaw protective equipment. So shin, shoulder, elbow, pants, and gloves. All, again,
just
number
about
one.
Everything.
Yeah. No helmets. I didn't do helmets when I was there, or goalie. But all, dominant number one market share positions as well in those categories. So I've been, really lucky. And then Mike Foley, who is the former director of footwear here at FootJoy, is now a key member on our marketing team. He and I were close from in my days at Acushnet Company. He called one day in April of 2009, I think, and asked if I was interested in coming back to Acushnet Company and helping out with footwear. And I jumped at the opportunity to get back into golf. I love the game of hockey, but at that time was, I guess, ready for a new challenge, a change. My commute going to Bauer Hockey in Exeter, New Hampshire, from where I lived at the time in Braintree, Massachusetts, was an hour and a half in the morning and 2 hours on the way home at night. So that was a lot of, in my kids were getting to the age where I was coaching more and more and wanted to find a better work-life balance, if you will, so that I could be at all the practices and all the games. So jumped at the opportunity. Brockton, Massachusetts is 12 minutes down the road from where I was living then and 10 minutes from where I'm living now. So it made complete sense. And it was just a great thing for me, not only to get back into golf and reconnect with so many of my friends at Acushnet Company, but to just have that true work-life balance where I can, I can be the type of dad again that I want to be, and I think I am, and still give it my all and work and be blessed to work in one of the two sports that I grew up so passionate about, playing and being passionate about.
It's so funny because last year I spoke with Dean Snell, who had worked and developed golf balls for years. And the reason he ended up going to Titleist was because it was an easier commute from his aerospace job. So it's funny that there are more than one person that has ended up at this company because, well, it made it a little bit easier to drive. And then, oh, things just happen to work out really well while there. And I can't help but think, working with sticks, the combination of materials that's used to create modern hockey sticks is so diverse that that really had to open your eyes to, let's look at different materials and different options and see how we can apply them going forward. And of course, that carried over into your work with FootJoy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think from a footwear product management perspective, I bring a little bit of a unique approach, having the exposure of working in all those different categories and exposure to all those different materials. And that's, I think, one of the things that I've been trying to do since I got here is let's look at things a little bit differently. Let's think outside the box and bring in materials that haven't necessarily been used in golf footwear before, that can really help drive performance. Year after, it's a very competitive field that we're in, and we're competing against some of the industry giants in Nike and Adidas. And for us to occupy this position as number one is great. My old boss at Bauer used to say, "Market share is rented, not owned." So we want to make sure that while we have the space, it's a big responsibility to make sure that we stay here at number one. So part of my new job now is exactly that: looking at new opportunities, new materials, new ways of doing things, so that we can hopefully continue to move the goalpost a little bit, and maintain the share that we have, keep that level of consumer engagement and excitement and momentum that we have around the brand right now.
It was an interesting time when you came to FootJoy, because they're widely known for the Icon, for Dry Joys, but the sport was transitioning to more athletic profiles. Was that something that you had in mind when you first walked in the door?
When I walked in the door, I wanted to do everything that I could to contribute. And with product management, it's different. We work on a 1 to 3 year timeline, development timeline, and building a business plan. So the first line that I actually really impacted in terms of creating the product line architecture was 2019. 2016, I started in June 2016, so that line was already baked. So I can't lay claim to ProSL as one of the wins that I was able to enjoy with the team. But 2019 would have been my first line that I actually briefed, was able to contribute a decent amount on a few projects for 18. So Tor S was a big one that I took on right when I started. And I jumped into that, and there was a bunch of players on tour at the time still wearing that old XPS one. It was out of the line, but we were still making it for some guys. Jerry Kelly and DA Points and Kevin Kisner, Duffner as well. And we wanted to come out with the most stable shoe that FootJoy has ever launched. And so right away, my first project was to jump out and engage with those players and talk about what they're looking for in their next generation product if we were to take XPS one away from them. And that's where Torres was born. And that's what that's really what spawned Tor X. And we're getting ready next year. We just had our first sales meeting and launched internally the product that will replace Tor X, which is a very exciting product as well. So I'm sure I'll be talking about that with you at the PGA show this year.
I have to imagine that even though you might not have been a part of ProSL, the reaction within the building, the pros are actually going to wear non-cleated shoes? And they're going to wear them all around the world on every tour? Had to be a shock.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. And it's one of those things where you look back and you say, wow, how lucky were we? And Mike Foley, who I mentioned earlier, and the team here had the courage to that performance spikeless technology had originally launched on a shoe that we called Dry Joys Casual, if you remember that category, and it had modest success at retail. It didn't blow the doors off, but it was kind of a slow burn with tour players, and a lot of tour players wore it. The 2016 winner of the Masters wore it. Adam Scott wore it, and I say 2016 winner because we don't have the rights to his name or likeness. But Adam Scott wore it. He's a big influence in the locker room as well, and it just started to really grow. And then it seemed like overnight, Pro SL was just on fire, and not only on tour, but at retail. And I think at one time we might have had 12 different colorways available for the consumer in the catalog, which speaks a lot to the popularity of the category. And so I started June 2016. Chris Linder, our president, started in August 2016, and he laid out for all of us sort of his 2020 vision plan and where he wanted to go by category. And, as a new associate at that time, I took it, to heart and wanted to make sure that we achieved those goals by 2020. We had some business objectives, and then we had some product objectives as well. And Chris is great and really understands performance technology and wants to make sure that we're the leading innovation brand in the golf footwear space. And so I think we knew pretty quickly that Pro SL was going to have a target on its back from our competitors, and we wanted to move the goalpost a bit. And that's why we set out to explore how can we raise the level of performance here and add in a whole new and very compelling material story at the same time. And that's how Pro SL Carbon was born. Mm-hmm. Obviously had some experience working with carbon fiber, and took some members of the team here over to the JEC material show in Paris, France, which is the world's largest composite mm-hmm. show. You've been to the PGA show. This is the PGA show on steroids. It's massive, that convention center in Paris. And we walked the floor, met a lot of vendors, and really, came up with a lot of ideas on how we can improve the performance of Pro SL. Talked to a lot of tour players about that wore Pro SL and might have gone back to an Icon or a Dry Joys Tour, talk to them about, if we could have made Pro SL a little bit differently, what would have gotten you to stay? And by and large, more players were looking for something a little bit more stable. So we were able to add a great technology story there with Pro SL Carbon last year. I think elevated our average selling price with Pro SL. Certainly that product sits at $199 at retail, and the regular versions at $170. So it helped really kind of grow that ecosystem of the Pro SL. It's the number one selling shoe on MyJoys. Our legal team was allowing us to say the hottest shoe in golf based on its number one position on the PGA Tour, most worn shoe on the PGA Tour, and it having the success it had at retail. So great story there with Pro SL. We're continuing to push the envelope with Pro SL and Pro SL Carbon. We've got a new addition to the mix for 2022 as well that I think is going to surprise some people, and even grow that Pro SL franchise even more. It's very important to grow and nurture these franchises that we have. It's like Contour and Dry Joys and Pro SL, very important franchises that I think are going to be around for long after I'm gone. But if myself and the rest of the team here can make it a better place and do our job and leave the brand in good hands, but by the time we're moving on, then we did our job.
Well, you talk about adding carbon or other concepts that are new, maybe aggressive, more athletic, however you want to phrase it. What kind of testing do they have to go through to make their way from a sketchboard to being an actual shoe? I mean, there has to be a lot, especially when you're talking about something that's never been done before.
Yeah, there's a lot. And I think one of the things that our brand is synonymous with is quality. We go on consumer research trips and we'll see guys wearing a FJ Sport, you know, that's 10 years old, mm-hmm. that still looks like it, you know, it might have come off the shelf yesterday. Quality is very important to us. And we've got a great lab and a lot of testing capabilities at our factory in China, but we've got an amazing state-of-the-art lab here in Brockton, Massachusetts as well, that we've recently invested in significantly, where we're doing a lot of testing here on our own. In very golf specific testing. So there's the standardized tests that most footwear companies will do. I don't want to give away the secret sauce on how we get to where we do, but every single one of our products goes through the same critical protocol, from in lab testing to wear testing as well. We've got a network of over 2,000 individuals on our wear test list that we will ship footwear to, and they'll put, a certain number of rounds on that pair of shoes, fill out a questionnaire. Each pair of shoes comes back to FootJoy. We inspect them all, and we look for areas of opportunity to improve. So, a new technology is probably 3 years from start to finish, assuming that we get on the right path out of the gate. Some projects take longer than others. In this new role, I can think of a handful of things that we're working on that, if I had to guess right now, you'll probably see in 5 years. And there are others that are probably easier wins that you just need to pass the test. But based on mechanical properties and what we know about them, you'll probably see them in the next 18 to 24 months type of thing.
Well, this year you launched two radically different shoes with the Hyperflex and the Premier Collection. First, with the Hyperflex, this really is kind of the culmination of the growth of the athletic styling that we have seen over recent years. I mean, it really came together in this shoe.
Yeah, there's athletic is big in golf footwear. And like I said earlier, we battle the two biggest in the athletic footwear game. And it's, I would say, probably more of a challenge for FootJoy than it is for them, because their looks are so accepted, and what they do with a lot of their design DNA is flush that through every single category that they're working on. Well, we only have one category that we're working on, and that's golf. So we need to make sure that whatever we launch has a certain level of success in the marketplace so that we can hit our business objectives. And I think, the past few years we've been on a great path, in a category, and really the opening price point range with Flex has really set the stage for that. It's a $90 non-waterproof shoe. When I started in 16, to think about FootJoy launching and having tremendous success with a non-waterproof spikeless athletic shoe was out of this world. But it shows you how fast the consumer moves and how fast you need to move with the consumer. So we invested in some new resources from a design standpoint, and really started to get after that athletic space, in terms of providing a look that would be accepted by the consumer, but also providing a performance technology that differentiates us from everybody else. Let's not just, make a sneaker and call it a golf shoe. We actually designed a true multi-surface traction technology with VersaTrax and put that on Flex. And then we came out with a waterproof version. And that was really driven by, I think, trade and consumer asking for the waterproof. So Flex XP followed quickly after Flex. And then Hyperflex was a project that really started in 2017. We work very closely with BOA. We're probably BOA's biggest partner in the golf footwear space. We've got the longest working relationship with them, having launched that Real Fit shoe in, I think, 2007 or 2008. I was working with Jason Peters from BOA, who would be a great interview for you as well, and just talking about BOA and how they're doing in golf footwear in general. But we did an offsite with BOA. We rented a house on a beach in North Carolina in December 2017, and brought all the great minds from footwear R&D at FootJoy and all the great minds at BOA, and sat and thought for 3 days with some guided conversations from a friend of ours on how we could think a little bit differently around performance fit and how we could use BOA differently. And that's really where that idea for Rapid originated with BOA. We also wanted to, we do a tremendous amount of studying of the marketplace, and based on our analysis, we had some good success with Fury when it launched in 2019. Mm-hmm. It was $170, very comfortable, good looking athletic shoe. But we saw an opportunity to cast a little bit of a wider net and grow our share in athletic space by our goal really there was launch a laced option for $150. And then we threw on the Rapid system with BOA there as well, I think it retails for $180. But it's amazing from a consumer acceptance standpoint, with where you've got a very great technology from the midsole standpoint with that Strataphone that we have, very soft, comfortable ride, proprietary midsole technology that we have there, and an engineered knit upper. Not overly stable, not necessarily, it's worn by tour players, a few, but not necessarily designed and developed for the tour player. But the acceptance from the consumer has been out of this world. The fact that we wanted to push BOA as far as we did, and you've got, for the first time in our line, you've got 50-50 from an assortment standpoint with BOA offerings and laced. So three BOA, three laced. And it just shows our commitment to not only that technology, but to our partnership with BOA and looking at new performance fit initiatives, not only for 2021, but for 22 and beyond. We've got some fun stuff in the mix there as well.
Yeah, and it definitely shows the acceptance of it in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's been widely accepted. Sell through has been amazing. It's been tough to keep in stock, has certainly exceeded expectations, and we're more than pleased and very excited for the future. And we've got, it's just the start. We've got another great new athletic option coming down the pipe for 22 that I think is going to surprise some people as well. And hopefully sell as many or more as we did at Viperflex.
Well, the Premier series is just amazing. It really combines the classic FootJoy style with modern technology. You could say that shoe is 40, 50 more years in the making.
Yeah, it was a big challenge made some folks inside our office here a bit nervous.
I bet.
The idea came, it was a conversation with myself and Mike Foley. Justin Thomas had just won another event wearing Icon, and while it was a great shoe, wasn't a shoe that we overly advertised and promoted. It's my joys only, volume wasn't massive, dry joys distribution at retail wasn't amazing, and we were seeing some competitive encroachment. We hadn't really invested. If you look at the outsole tooling for Icon and my joys both were over 10 years old. Probably they were both probably before their time from a technology standpoint, and amazing, and testament to the teams that worked on those, that they lasted for as long as they did. But for a while it was kind of like, well, dry joys is doing its thing. We don't really need to touch that. Tour presence is great. Icon, same thing. And then seeing competitive encroachment in this classic space, was another reason to think and look at it a little bit differently. We had, we looked at the numbers at the time, if you combined the number of Icon wearers and the number of DryJoys wearers and put them into one footwear category, you'd have a new number one shoe on tour displacing Pro SL. And that we thought would be a pretty big story.
That's a good formula right there to start with.
So that was the formula. And we went to work on that, and we got out there and talked a lot with players that were wearing Icon, players that were wearing DryJoys Tour. And we looked at, how can we build one shoe for all these players and take advantage of what's going on with classic footwear designs in footwear in general, not just in the golf space, but, you see other brands taking very classic designs and putting a new spin on them. That's why our project was called the Modern Classic, because not only did we want to supercharge this with, 10 plus more years of better footwear making know-how and performance technologies, but let's bring these classic type of designs into the modern day and really go after those discerning golfers who are looking for that ultimate performance product, but is really the uniform, if you will, for golf.
Well, now you have a new role. You've alluded to it a few times, but the principle of advanced concepts, let's keep it simple for the audience. What does it mean?
It means everything that we just talked about. I work on the stuff that happens before that makes it into a product brief, really. So there's a new senior product manager. His name's Patrick Trubiano. Wonderful guy, came to us from New Balance, had a lot of experience in athletic as well as lifestyle while he was there. I think he was there maybe 15 years. He's taking over senior product management role. And then I'm really working on 3 to whenever years ahead on really the key areas of focus for us. So looking at different opportunities in traction, in cushioning, in materials, in fit systems, in closure systems, and performance fit technologies, looking at our manufacturing processes, looking at how we test product, and really, taking some big swings at, far reaching ideas and learning from that. Some of the stuff that we work on might never see the light of day, and that's up to Patrick and the product management team now to say, okay, I like that idea, advanced concept team. I'm going to brief that into a product for 2026, assuming that you can get proof of concept and, however much it costs to manufacture fits within where I want to market this new product for the consumer. So it's fun. It's a brand new team of folks that we've got in advanced concepts here. Very excited to get after it. We've just, like I think I said earlier, we made significant investments in our lab here to get after testing in a very different way, enhancing our critical protocols, and really just the goal is to put more meat on the deck, if you will, in terms of ideas for the new product management team to insert into the shoes you might see in store 18 to 24 months from now.
Now, I know you've already gotten people excited for 22. We can't get them too excited for 26 yet. They'll just go crazy waiting for those. We always wrap up our talks here on the range by jumping into the Wayback Machine. And on this journey, we have two questions for you. So first, is there a club, whether from your junior or competitive days, maybe more recently, for which you just have that special fond attachment? It may even be sitting somewhere prized in the house, or that one club that's like, man, that was the one.
So growing, I'm going to date myself now, but my real first set of irons that were, good irons. They weren't, you know, weren't a set of McGregors that were bought at Kmart by mom and dad at Christmas. It was the Tommy Armour 845s irons.
Silver those Scott.
When I got those, everybody in my group was jealous. And then right in and around that day. So pretty much everybody I played 845s or DCI Blacks, Titleist DCI Blacks. Those were kind of the two go-to irons, but I've still got the 845s in the basement. So when I'm down doing laundry every now and then, I'll reach into my old tour bag and grab them out and fill it there. They'd probably still be great today.
And finally, that one shoe from your years with FootJoy, as you think about it now, this is the one that is your prize. I know there's going to be more, but at right now you've got one.
The prize would probably be Premier Series. I think from a just from a response from the consumer and personally, it fits the type of shoe that I like. If I'm going to be selfish here, if you're giving me that freedom to be a little selfish for a moment, yeah, it fits my game from a stability standpoint, from a style standpoint. I've always liked the look of a classically designed shoe. Before Premier Series, I was a Dry Joyce Tour guy. The white saddle is kind of same, and now I wear the Packard white saddle now in Premier Series. It's just it fits my game from a stability standpoint, fits the way that I want to show up on the first tee. I like to dress a good game. I used to be a pretty good player. Now I like to dress a good game. So
we all can do that at least.
Yep. So that's gotta be worth a shot or two.
Well, you've already lived quite the sporting career and there is a lot more to go. Thank you for always giving me insight into footwear and producing some amazing products. And of course, thanks for joining us here on the range.
Thanks, Ralph.
That was Keith Duffy, and just imagine going from working on tournaments to the equipment world and seeing all the different growth areas in such a short time. It's a testament to his expertise that he has risen in the equipment industry so quickly. His insights are invaluable, and he definitely sees the trends as they begin to emerge. Before we go, the Olympics are going on in Japan, and the Men's Olympic Golf Tournament is about to get underway at the Kasumigaseki Country Club in Saitama, just outside of Tokyo. The biggest news this past weekend was the unfortunate announcement that the past two U.S. Open champions, Bryson DeChambeau and Jon Rahm, both tested positive for COVID-19, forcing them to miss this chance at a gold medal. To his credit, Patrick Reed immediately accepted the opportunity to play Olympic golf once again after finishing in a tie for 11th place in Rio in 2016. He won't be afforded any opportunity for a practice round, so he will approach it like a Monday qualifier. And that should be interesting to see. One thing's for certain, he loves representing the United States. As for Bryson and John, to say the reactions to their positive tests were different would be an understatement. When Bryson tested positive, golf Twitter made sure to pounce and pounce and pounce again, shaming him for the positive test. Suddenly, the criticisms went quiet when news of Rahm's positive test went public. With all of John's COVID battles, it certainly put a different spin on the story. It really is too bad that a couple of the best golfers in the world will not be able to play, but who knows? Maybe an amazing story will come from it. We've discussed it before. This is no regular event, and the iconic prize of a gold medal puts a special shine in the Olympics that no other tournament can match. It should be awesome. We continue to share what's new in golf equipment, and you can find out the latest with the Golf Spotlight. We are dropping new features all the time, looking at clubs, accessories, footwear, and more. Go to thegolfspotlight.com, click on the YouTube subscribe button, and turn on those notifications so you never miss one of our exclusive features. There is a lot to catch up on. Stay up to date on the range by following us on Instagram at thegolfspotlight. We are also on Twitter at golfspotlight, and we welcome your comments everywhere. You've listened this far, so subscribe to The Range on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify or iHeart. We have new shows dropping every Wednesday. That'll do it for this episode of The Range, so let's hit the course. But remember, as Casey Kasem used to say, keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars. It's a lot easier to do when you've got great golf shoes. And we'll talk to you next time, right here on The Range.